Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Friday, March 20th, 2015. And with me today, I have the always beautiful Brian Chaffin. How are you?
I am considering investing in cloaks and robes.
And I can totally see it. You will rock that look.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and equally beautiful, but I don't know if you could rock the cloak and robe quite as well as Brian. John Martellaro, how are you?
Good morning. No, probably not.
No, Brian, that's a look you can totally own.
Yeah, John could rock the judge's robes, though.
Oh, absolutely.
John would totally rock the judge's robes.
All right, yeah. I mean,
John would make
that.
A great judge. John, if you run for judge, I'll vote for you.
Yeah, I've never thought about that before.
Yeah, I would vote for you. Yeah. Now, I'm kind of thinking the robe I would rock, and I don't know if this is a compliment to myself or not. The dude.
Did he wear a robe?
Oh, yes.
Oh, of course, that kind of robe. Right.
Right.
Well played.
Why, thank you. Yeah. Can you get dairy-free white Russians?
No.
Oh, well, that's going to be a problem for my look.
Yeah.
Anyhow, we have a sponsor today, lynda.com, and I'm pretty excited about that because I'm all about learning and getting smarter. So we'll talk about them soon. Also, John, you are on a microphone that we want some feedback from.
That's right. I've started a microphone testing project. I'm working with condenser mics that are do not require power, can plug right into an iPad. So I'm here with my iPad Air, and this week I'm using an Apogee mic, 96K. Used one on Monday, and I'm using it again today with a windscreen to see if there's any effect. So all you listeners, let me know how I sound, and next week I'll be using a new microphone.
Sounds great. And you can let us know in the show notes. And also
not really in the show notes.
Why not?
You mean the comments?
Yeah. I have comments on the show notes. So listeners can let us know in the show notes.
No, okay. They just can't add to the show notes. They're going to add comments.
They can add comments to the show notes. Mr. Pedantic Pants.
Mostly.
Also, you can let us know on Twitter. And our Twitter handle is TMO Daily. And I paused for a second there, just in case, Brian, you had a pedantic statement you needed to add.
Let's get to the show before we...
Yeah, I think that's a really good idea. Okay, the first thing I wanted to talk about today is a piece you wrote yesterday, John, where you're saying Apple is kind of blowing it with what we think is going to happen with their streaming television service. What's up with that?
Yeah, I really wrote this as sort of a love letter to Tim Cook, hoping somebody would see it. Brian and I had a lot of discussion about this before I wrote it, and it has to do with... a comment that the New York Post made about how sources close to the talks revealed that Apple had told the channel partners that, you know, go ahead, if you want to put ads in line, go ahead and do that. We're cool with that. And so we were talking about that in the staff meeting, and Brian and I were discussing it. And Dave Hamilton jumped in and had a really good idea. He said, you know, why not just go the Netflix route, raise the price a little bit, cover the advertising costs like Netflix does, and just do a pure paid service, something along the lines of what we get with iTunes, where, you know, when you buy a TV show on iTunes, you get just the raw show without commercials. So why not have this streaming service where you pay a little extra and you don't get interruptions, and everybody would be happy, and the content providers would get their money, and Apple would get its take, and the customers would be very happy, and Apple can probably successfully argue that this is a premium service, that's why you're paying a little bit more. And so that was the gist of the article, and it wasn't an attempt to jump in too early. It was just a sort of a philosophical piece, and hopefully Tim Cook, who wants to improve our Apple TV viewing experience, would do something like that. Yes, Brian.
All right, so Apple could do an ad-free service. So Apple could Apple could have agreements with the studios and networks to show their programming and do it from a streamed source that's ad-free rather than from their network feeds. That is possible. I suspect, though, that it would require more money than just a little bit more. I mean, you know, if you look at the vast majority of Netflix content, and you mentioned this yourself, John, vast majority of Netflix's content is, you know, like, you know, B and C and D movies.
Well, I don't think it would be a little bit more. I think it would be a lot more. I think it would be, instead of Netflix's entry of $9 a month, I think it would be more like $40 a month.
Well, yeah, $9 is in line with some of the speculation on what Apple is going to pay or charge.
Yeah, I don't know if $40 would actually cut it either. I mean,
I didn't do the math for the article.
You can't. I'm a big believer in the idea that you can't get something for nothing, and the money to produce these shows definitely has to come from somewhere. Now, let's break down some numbers. So let's say Apple got 10 million subscribers, $40 a month. That would be obviously $400 million a year. Is that right?
A month.
A month. Of course, it would be $400 million a month. And, you know, 30% of that goes to Apple. So that's 12 million a month, leaving 28 million. I'm sorry, 280 million a month for this. Okay, yeah, they could do it. I'm a believer.
The myth doesn't lie.
But it would take a completely different paradigm of delivering content, because like right now, like for instance, one thing that can't happen is that we get the network feed and somehow the commercials are mysteriously gone, because now we've got, you know, 12 minutes an hour or 18 minutes an hour of dead air.
Well, maybe I'm wrong, but I thought the whole idea here was on demand.
It's live television and on demand. So what they could do is show live television with whatever commercials are there, just like everyone else would see. But then for the on-demand library of old content, maybe that doesn't have commercials.
That would be all right.
And yeah, that's certainly possible. Apple could do its cloud-based DVR service. That could be commercial free. That could be one of the premiums that you're paying for.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Brian.
Okay, I will go ahead and make this point. One thing is that there are I may be projecting here, but there's still television content that I actually just want to watch while it's on, and this is especially true with a lot of, you know, like History Channel and Science Channel and Discovery Channel content, where it's the kind of stuff I like to have on in the background. Mm-hmm. And I want that streaming. I want that live. I don't actually want to have to go through and necessarily pick out a show every hour. BBC, yeah, sometimes, Brian, I'll do that with BBC too. I'm sorry. Please, John.
I've been watching a lot of NBC Sports Channel on DirecTV because it's ice hockey season is starting to get in gear and teams are fighting for the playoffs. And, you know, this loss of NBC Universal entails not just NBC Network, but all of the holdings, which is an enormous amount of other material, sci-fi, USA Network, NBC Sports, and a whole bunch of others that wouldn't be there. And I worry that would be a tough thing for Apple to sell. Maybe once it gets going, Apple can restrike a deal with NBC Universal. But it seems to me like out of the box, that would be a tough sell for Apple to lose that part of it.
It will be, and it'll here's where it'll hinge. if Apple can get a lot of subscribers without NBC, NBC will cave. And if Apple can, if Apple struggles to get subscribers because it doesn't have NBC, Apple will have to make some kind of concessions to Comcast.
Yep.
Yeah.
I suspect it'll be Comcast that caves.
I do too.
That wouldn't surprise me either. There's also word that some of the laws regulating that industry would require Comcast to let Apple stream NBC.
Maybe.
Yeah, and yeah, maybe. I don't know. I am not an expert in that field, but I'm talking.
I would rather Comcast have to cave, but that's just me. But, you know, NBC has always caved Apple. Every time they always whine and complain. And, you know, like, you know, we don't want to do this. You know, we think our thing is better and, you know, their thing is never better. And they end up having to come back to Apple.
Yeah. Then they see the dollar signs and go, oh, backstroke.
Yeah. They did this with iTunes. They did this with the, when Apple first added movies, TV shows.
Yeah. They've even pulled content temporarily and then caved. Mm-hmm. Brought it back.
Mm-hmm.
So NBC has quite a consistent track record here.
And this is before they got owned by the by Comcast, the company not known for being a very good corporate citizen.
Yeah, that's true. So, all right. So it sounds, John, like what you would like is for Apple to use their streaming television service as a way to disrupt the market as opposed to a way to simply deliver the same content.
Yeah, and I also have another comment to add before we move on, and that is I'm wondering about the demographics of the situation. A lot of people appreciate the system that they have already in place, and it would be a trick for Apple to get a significant number of people to cut the cord and move over, given that they don't have the NBC component. And so you'd have to convince people they're getting something that they weren't getting before, and convince them that they're going to end up paying less money. We had this discussion last week. You know, you pay Apple maybe $40 a month, and then you want HBO, and then that's $15 a month, that's $65, and then you want maybe something else, and you could quickly be up in the $70 to $80 range with your payments. So Apple's going to have to make a strong case. And then there's the demographics of the people too. You know, young people have a completely different way of watching TV and getting their entertainment. And will this service appeal to a broad range of demographics? So that's something to explore and think about.
Yep. And all right. So there you go. Now we just have to wait and see what Apple really does. Because keep in mind, everything we're talking about right now is based on insider sources that we're feeding information out to places like the Wall Street Journal.
So yeah, we don't know. Official announcement from Apple. We don't have an official announcement from Apple. And we also don't know the completeness with which these sources understand the situation.
Right. So one thing the sources were very specific about is that Apple's going to make an announcement about the service in June so it can launch in September. So that means that we're in March right now. So we have, what, about 2.5, maybe 3 months before we get some sort of confirmation from Apple. So we'll just have to be patient and wait and see. All right. And we have a sponsor this week.
Excellent.
Yes. Very excellent, because it's lynda.com. That's lynda.com. And then put a slash on the end and add a TDO. And go there and get yourself 10 free hours of online training from whatever courses they offer.
Mm.
So, yeah. Mm. So Lynda offers over 3,000 different courses on a crazy wide range of topics. I've mentioned earlier this week that I've really been enjoying looking at the Photoshop classes because I'm getting inspiration on new ways to use the application, which is really cool. And was it yesterday I mentioned that you can actually learn how to program Mindstorm robots, Lego Mindstorm robots, right from lynda.com, which I think is awesome. And one thing that I would love to see a lot of web designers do is go and take Linda's class on how do you make retina graphics for your websites. Because there's a lot of websites that haven't updated their graphics yet, and I think in some cases they just aren't sure what to do. So Linda has a great course there that teaches you how to do that.
That's good stuff. And you can try this for free, you're saying?
For free. 10 days, as many classes as you can possibly fit in to that time. Just watch them all.
Wow.
Yeah. And the great thing beyond being able to get 10 days of free classes is that when you're doing this, you're learning. And learning is just a huge empowering thing. And my feeling is if we're not learning, we are failing ourselves. So let's not fail ourselves. How's that for an inspirational speech?
Sounds fantastic.
Awesome. Okay, so head over to lynda.com/TDO. That's lynda.com/TDO. And sign up. Get your 10 free days, even if you're not planning on taking classes after that. But I think you should. Go get 10 free days because there has to be at least one class, and I bet a lot more, that will be of interest to you. So thank you, Linda, for being our sponsor this week.
Good stuff.
Yeah. And now the next thing I wanted to talk about is not quite as exciting as that, but I think it's still really important. I found that one of the research firms out there, MDSEC, they discovered people are making these brute force attack boxes that they can connect to iPhones and then use them to figure out what your 4-digit passcode is and get in, even if you have enabled the wipe after 10 failed tries feature.
What?
Yeah. So the way this works is they have to crack your iPhone open and then plug these wires in, and then they let the thing start running. And so what it does is it tries a passcode. If it fails, it does this hard power off to your iPhone before it can write the failed attempt back to its own memory so that it can keep track of those failures. So when you do that, you now just you've eliminated the 10 tries and you're out security feature. So they can just keep trying and trying until they find the passcode. And if they have to run through every passcode combination, then it can take about 111 hours to hack your iPhone. And then they have full access to everything, and they also know exactly what the code is, so they can wipe your iPhone and resell it.
That is ugly. Now, it sounds like, therefore, it's using some kind of – it has to be using some kind of software command to do the hard reset.
That's my assumption. Based on what I'm seeing, it looks like it's – well, it may actually just be doing something where it kills the battery, where it physically disconnects the battery and reconnects it. That might be part of that.
Well, it can't physically
crack it open.
Oh, you do have to, crack it open.
You have to crack it open. Yep.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that actually is a little bit less.
And this is for 4-digit passcode only,
this is
right?
For 4-digit passcodes. So if you have a complex passcode, then this isn't going to work. However, there's no reason why it couldn't be modified at some point to work with complex passcodes. The thing is, it would just take a lot longer.
It'd take a lot longer, yeah. You'd need a much more powerful computer to run through the combinations. And I do not use a 4-digit passcode anymore, and I strongly recommend customers get away from that. There are easy mnemonics that you can use that will help you remember maybe even up to, 10 or 12 digit password if it's a section of a song you like or a favorite section from a book. Although there are databases that contain all that information, if you scramble it up a little bit and put some special characters in and have your own special sauce, I don't think it's too hard to remember a one passcode that's 10 or 12 digits if you construct it right. I think that'd go a long way, especially with Apple Pay on your phone now. I think a 4-digit passcode is not sufficient anymore to protect you. So perhaps we're checking to see if we've written an article on that in the past, and if we haven't, we'll revisit that and show people how to do that easily.
Well, I'm going to tell people how to do it right now.
Okay.
All right. So what you do is you go into settings on your iPhone and then go to the Touch ID and passcode setting or set. Scroll down until you see simple passcode and flip the little slider to turn it off. And then you'll have to enter a new passcode, which is whatever you want it to be, which can be letters, numbers, and symbols. And you're good to go.
So this is super scary because, for obviously, well, law enforcement could use this sort of thing. And if they have a warrant to do so, I don't have a huge problem with that. But the bad guys can use this, and unfortunately, even the street thugs who just want to steal your iPhone so that they can you know flip it on eBay, they can use it too. And right now we've seen a big decrease in iPhone muggings since Apple instituted some recent effectively kill switch options as a default.
Right.
And this is the sort of thing that could turn that around. I really hope that this box is doing something hardware-wise because software-wise, because then Apple could theoretically patch it.
Well, and it's possible that it's already been patched. MDSEC said that they need to try this again with an iPhone running iOS 8.2 to see if it still works. So they have reason to believe that there is at least potentially a way to patch this so that hackers can't just brute force attack your iPhone and get in.
Scary stuff, though.
It is. And people that are buying these, because, yes, they're being sold, you can pick them up for $200-$300 somewhere in there. And that's not a lot of money, especially if you're planning on stealing iPhones and flipping them. Yeah, so don't do that because that would be bad. But for the rest of us, just if you're concerned that someone may want to try and hack your iPhone so that they can sell it later on, stop using a 4-digit passcode and switch over to a complex passcode instead.
Yep.
Hey, we are out of time.
Oh, no.
I know, yet again. Brian, thank you so much for being here.
Indeed. Thanks for having us, man.
It's always great to have you. And John, thank you for being back again and letting us listen to your microphone. Which model is that?
That is the Apogee Mic 96K.
Cool. Listeners, let us know what you think of John's mic. Oh,
with an iPad Air.
And let us know what color you think his iPad Air is. And then lynda.com. Thank you for being our sponsor this week. That's lynda.com/ TDO. It's so cute how you helped me with the slash, Brian.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thanks. go there and get yourself 10 free hours of training. It's absolutely awesome stuff taught by the best people in the field. And it's totally great. 10 free hours. Listeners, thank you for being here with us again this week. And we will see everyone again on Monday.
Here comes the judge. There goes the judge.